Originating from Las Vegas, Nevada, you're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas. LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.
Warning, warning, Spankwagon Radio is now on the air.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Good morning, friends of television land.
Attention you out there in radio land.
Good morning. WPIX, August 8th, TGIF day. The time is 3:30 to 7, and this is Channel 7.
Good morning.
This is television station
WORTV,
New York.
Good morning, Starshine. Stay tuned now for our national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night. Three of you know what that means. One of you has no effing clue. And the rest of you are scratching your head going, but I'm listening to the podcast and it's Monday. Well, either way, it's time for Spankwagon Radio. Live from the ghetto in fabulous Las Vegas, Spankwagon Radio. I'm your host, Trencher.
I'm Big Daddy D-Cat.
And we're it.
You know what I'm wondering? What? I was just thinking, you know, okay. So, Murphy and Scrappy are both not here today, which is kind of odd because they really didn't give no real significant reasons why they're here.
Well, no.
But I know. It does pose me a question.
Uh-oh.
That I kind of want to post on the site and see what we get a response.
Oh, you want to do it on the website?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Which one is bigger? Murphy's mouth?
Or Scrappy's boobs? I have a bad feeling that Scrappy is going to lose.
See, we should see.
Well, I don't know. I got a call from Murph saying, everything at work is going to hell. I can't come in. Bye. Click. But you're right. He didn't say what
it
was.
He didn't say. Yeah, the Scrappy. She didn't say shit. Usually she'll say, oh, I have to work or I have to whatever. She just said, I can't make it in today.
You know, they have been getting rather more and more smitten every single week.
I know.
Interesting.
So, is it Walmart parking lot or Kmart?
You know, I figured neither. Something tells me Scrappy wouldn't have that.
She's not that desperate?
No. Not in a million years. If she were to get that desperate, I would look attractive to her. That's desperate. All right? Very desperate. All right. Spankwagon Radio, you can find us online, spankwagon.net.
Very desperate.
Very desperate. Of course, we want everybody to join us. If you're joining us live, and, you know, I got to say this, week in, week out, we always say join us live, join us live, join us live, and you know, a few diehard, hardcore listeners do make time to join in the chat room or call in, and you got to appreciate that. Always have to appreciate those listeners who do, who are able to do that. For everybody else who's in the podcast, though, we have stuff for you, too, on the site. As a matter of fact, the nice thing about Spankwagon.net is it's not just me posting stuff anymore. As a matter of fact, there's a little button up in the upper right-hand corner, upper left-hand corner called Contribute. And what Contribute will do is it allows you to go into a section of the Spankwagon site where you write the story. You pick your topic, you write your headline, you write your body, and you just go nuts. This is for everyone else. You know, for those of you who cannot listen live, for those of you who are, you know, very dedicated podcast listeners, this is for you. Yes, we do ask you to sign up. Yes, it's yet another website that asks you to sign up for something, but hey, I do that to keep the crap out because, to be honest, I don't have to worry about spammers this way, and that's a good thing.
Well, at least in your questions, you don't ask how much money you make a year.
I don't want
to
know
household
that.
Goods do you which household goods do you use and all that shit. We have to go through 10, 12 sheets of questions.
Oh, my favorite. When you're signing up for something online and then it makes you go through the marketing offers.
Yeah, that's what I
click
saying.
On these so you can get great deals from, you know, biznatch.com. What the fuck is that?
You know,
oh wait, that's one of the co-hosts. One of the people from Gotti. But the whole point is, you know, it's stupid, a lot of sites out there, they want to know all this stuff about you. I don't care about your marketing preferences. I'm not going to sell you anything except Decaf's book.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I have on that site for sale right now. Not even on my site. I'm just hot linking to Amazon. I'm elite HTML like that.
You know, and that's exactly true. It's so simple just to sign up. You go, you put in a couple things. I mean, it's so easy. Scrappy can even do it. Or
but
has she
hasn't yet. As a matter of fact, I love it. I got an IM from Murph yesterday, telling me about some booking that he's doing. He goes, dude, how do I get to my email? I lost the piece of paper. That's two now. And have you lost yours? That's a yes. Okay.
No, I think I know where it is.
Okay,
I think I know where it is.
The whole thing is everybody was yelling at me to get email working, get a webmail interface.
You're right.
And I now have a webmail. It's not perfect. I'm still not done with it, but I have a webmail interface that no one uses.
What am I doing? Right. No, you're right. You have a right to go and dog all of us beat at us because we did beat at you about
but,
it.
But I am seeing people post. You've commented on some things. Murphy has made a couple of posts. You know, yes, the site is still 100% me, or let me rephrase that, 99% me in posting, but it's getting better. And I encourage everyone who's out there, contribute, because I know I'm not going to be a big site like Slashdot or Dig or anything like that. And I don't want that. But what I do want is everyone out there to add to the conversation, general discourse, if you will, the communications. You want to talk about anything, go for it. If I don't have a topic that fits, tell me what topics you want. Radio@spankwagon.net, the email for the site. Because that way I can then make it something a little more user-friendly for everyone. Such as the fact that some people don't understand you can actually select either plain text or HTML. If you know HTML, then I have a listing of the HTML you can use. If you don't know HTML, you just copy and paste a URL and poof, magically it becomes a link. It's smart like that. Oat Shit asks me what I'm using for webmail. Actually, it's something home-built by Mr. Man. So it's not the greatest, but it's something that we are trying to make work. Actually, I don't know if it's home-built. But I don't remember the name of it off the top of my head because I'm not the one that actually put it out there.
So was it built in the garage or something?
You know, I think it was actually built while he was sitting on the laptop toilet on the laptop. But
hey, that's where you get your best creations.
You know, or I win more games of solitaire taking a poop on my phone. I won't text from my phone and I won't call on my phone when I'm pooping.
So
but
you
I'll
don't,
play
you
solitaire.
Don't text on your phone?
Oh, no.
I got it. I guess it's a perfect time to text when you're taking a shit, I guess. I text shitting.
Okay,
you text shitting?
Okay, well, let me ask you this then. Do you take a call when you're in the bathroom or make a call when you're in the bathroom?
Yes.
You do?
I have. Depending
to
on who.
To who? Yeah, okay, that's
depending
my next question. Who?
I want to call my mom while taking a dump.
Hey, mom, just thinking about you.
I mean, mostly probably like some of my close friends that I know for a long time. I want to like call work or business or anything like that.
Right.
Mostly it's like if it's someone I know or like fucking Josh. I'll call Josh taking a shit.
You know,
I don't care.
Josh, our everybody's favorite whitest guy in the world.
Yeah, so it's just sort of people that I probably would, or if I answer the phone, I'm taking a shit, that I just don't, you know, give away the information. You know, now let's just feel like grossing somebody out right now.
Yeah.
Like, hold on a sec, I gotta go wipe my ass.
Well, that begs the question: do you flush?
I do flush sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes I wait and just let the shit sit there for a while until the conversation's over. Then go.
In other words,
flush afterwards. Have some courtesy.
Have some courtesy. In other words, you let your legs go numb. You're self-sacrificing, letting your fucking legs go numb. So when you stand up, you look like Christopher Reeve. Tasteless. I love it. But yeah, your ass is numb. Your legs are numb. You stand up. You're like, I'm Bambi. I just learned to walk.
Yeah, my favorite one is when I'm talking to somebody and then that's in the middle of the conversation is like, hold on, I gotta go wipe my ass. And they're just like, what?
Do you hold the phone over the toilet?
Yeah,
listen to that go down. That was four cans of beans and two hot dogs. Yeah.
Exactly it.
That's awesome. All right. So, you know, that's one thing I haven't done yet is made my site mobile friendly. Maybe I got to work on that next. I don't know. But again, spankwagon.net. Also, we have on there a few other things for you to do. Of course, if you look in the left-hand column, you get all of our syndicates, all of our wonderful syndicates, which I do have an email from one of them. Plus, you get the chat room and just, you know, there is things to do. There's the archive and MySpace and all that good stuff. Plus, the Vote For Me link, which I don't even know why I'm bothering keeping it up. But, hey, it's there, so click on it. Something to do.
I wonder if we could do any kind of like kind of games or put a game on there or a trivia game or some shit like that.
I'm actually working on stuff like that right now. There's a lot of plugins and stuff that I can use because what I use for my main site is called GeekLog. I liked it before, but it wasn't keeping up with what everybody else wanted. I did what everybody else wanted, realized it was a pain in my ass because no one else really did anything. So I just put GeekLog back in and then upgraded it and cleaned it up and made it look nice and fancy, and that's where we're at right now. And, of course, no one else likes it. Well, I can't win, but, hey, I'm happy with the site, and that's what matters. Oh, shit, in the chat room. Speaking of chat room, irc.slashnet.org/spankwagon. Oh, shit says in there, oh, shit, appropriate. What freaks me the fuck out, I'm sitting here doing my business, and all of a sudden the guy in the stall next to me, whom I may or may not even know is there, says, "Hi there!" In a public restroom, of course.
Now you say hi there to him or just
to talking his phone. Yeah, his phone. Oh, hi there.
Oh, that scared the shit.
Oh, that scared the shit right out of me. I'm done. Flush.
Now, are you a shit talker? Do you talk when you're taking a shit in a public place? That the best is when people get in there. They're like, oh, fuck. Oh, shit. Fuck. I'm like, damn. Dude, no. They just hear.
No, what?
Man.
Wow. No, I'm not a shit talker. I, you know, very quiet, polite, I guess, to myself, the turds, and everyone else in the room. Because, you know, it is like usually at work. And when I'm shit in public, it's going to be in the office. You know, not in public. Wait, let me rephrase this. When I'm shitting in a public restroom, it's going to be at the office. And, you know, they're going to know, oh, yeah, it's Mark in there. Well, it sounds like he's blowing his bowels out again. No. No. No, I'm pretty quiet, you know.
You're a quiet shitter.
What I laugh at, though, and I start snickering, is, you know, I hear these people amble in. You know, you hear them. You hear the 400 pounds amble in and slam the handicap stall open, and you hear them take off that last loop on the belt that of course, is like a 208-inch belt. And they plop down, and you swear to God, all the other bits of plumbing in the whole building just kind of go up a little. You know, they plop down, the plumbing goes up, just to balance it out, seesaw it. And you hear the most foul, disgusting, it sounds like a water hose. Yeah, a water hose and marbles. It's like someone took a fire hydrant and filled it with marbles, turned it on, and that's the noise it makes. You swear to God, it's rocks coming out of their ass and tinking. You know, throw a rock at like a tile, or throw a rock at your toy, a little pebble, and that noise, a ting. What the hell are you doing to yourself?
Yeah, and another thing, I guess, is when I am taking a shit, then someone else walk in, because our bathroom at my work is so fucking small. It's like one sit-down toilet stall, you know, a stall and a stall. It's all close together.
Right.
So sometimes people walk in, and the funny part is you can look through the door in a mirror, and you can see who's taking
who's
the piss.
Taking a shit, yeah.
Or who's taking a piss. So, you know, it's just, I guess it depends on who it is, that sometimes you just rip one, or sometimes you just, you know, you just keep it quiet. But then every once in a while I see someone, I just go... Just like it, they get all uncomfortable. They're like, you know, you can see them adjusting.
Oh my god, that's fantastic. No, you know what really, and it always skeeves me out, is when you see you hear that guy. Like I said, imagine my 800-pound gorilla in the stall next to me there. Ching. Unroll a little toilet paper, wipe, buckle up, run out the door.
Oh, they just bolt out so you don't.
What the
see?
Hell? One, no flush or toilet. Fine. You know what? It's not my house.
Oh, that's fucking
It's not
gross.
Even an automatic toilet. That's disgusting. Two, they didn't even wash their damn hands. Now, in there, I was in there before the show and I took a dump. Okay, done. Okay, cool. Washed my hands. I wash my hands. You know, Murph goes in there. We don't know what he's in. He's in there half an hour or more. He comes out. I don't think he washes his hands. I know he does it when he goes, you know, takes a piss.
Yeah, he probably does it. Still, but it reminds me of the movie Only in America. Ving Rhames played Don King.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was about to leave out the bathroom. And, you know, his dude's like, well, why don't you wash your hands? He said, I wash my hands before I hold my dick.
And there you go. There you have it. Wow. It's so holy. Never mind. I can't do that. I won't even do that.
We just had a 10-minute conversation about shit. I'm very proud of this.
Hey, you should be. As a matter of fact, we want everybody else, if you are listening live through any of our syndicates.
To take a shit while listening to the
take
show.
A dump, take up. Yeah. Right now, for the remainder of the show, go rest on the toilet and enjoy the show. I don't care if you're at work. No, you can be at work and you can do whatever you want. Just, you know, go take a shit. Take a shit on us. No. Not on us, but for us. For us. Take a shit for us.
You can take a shit in a cup if that that makes you feel
hey,
better.
No.
How about one of those 400-pound dudes at your work coming in taking a shit in a cup?
No.
He's like you need a double big gulp and shit. Even the girls in the video will be like, fuck that. We quit.
They're like, this is fucking Rocky Road. That ain't humane. We're done. We are so out of here. And the director's like, but I got this great idea for a sequel. Three girls in a Dixie glass or a Dixie cup. What the fuck? Three girls in a big gulp.
So what's going on?
Five girls in a soda fountain. No. What was that going on?
My shit's cut in and out. It's like in the static. And
man. Up. I thought those were new. Check your plugs. That's what I'm going to say. I thought those were new. All right. So we'll talk a little bit more. We had the girls of the internet party, which Spankwagon was involved with quite a bit. You might want to you listen in a little of that a little later. Of course, we want to invite people to the chat room because if you go into spankwagon.net, click on the chat room link. Just hit approve. It's just a piece of Java source, Java application. Drop in there and chat with us. Or we want to hear from you live, 1-866-LV-ROCKS, 1-866-587-6257.
Now, was the Gotti show, was it actually recorded into a podcast, or was it just live?
I don't think it was podcast. I think it was live, but I also think that the site Rude.com did the video and the audio streaming that night, not LV Rocks, which I thought was kind of weird. But Rude.com, I believe, took an archive of the whole thing.
Okay.
So we'll see. We'll see if that's actually out there in the public domain. If so, we'll link up to it.
Okay.
Because I mean, this year I believe we all had a big hand. Like I wasn't even on mic I wasn't really on mic for any of it. I never got to enjoy any mic time that night. I was running around doing stuff.
Yeah, I know.
So, trying to get other people to help me do stuff. But we'll go into that in a little bit. Why don't we take? You want to take a quick break?
Yeah.
Want to take one songer?
Yeah.
Oh, uno songer. We'll take a nice quick break. Get some water. You are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Oh, no one else is here to say it.
No one else is here to say it.
Spankwagon Radio.
Wait, if you're gonna do it, you got to do like Scrappy.
Spankwagon Radio.
We'll be back.
just too small to make a voice about it. It's something far. Hey, what is the point in losing sleep about it? See you later. See you later. Hit me now, now, now. Hit me now, now, now. See you later. Fall, man. We dance underneath the radar. We live underneath the wall. We live underneath the radar. There's no way that you're ever gonna get far. We kiss underneath the searchlight. We live underneath the wall. We live underneath the radar. There's no way that you're ever gonna get far. Ha 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 ha. So yeah.
All right, folks, Spank Wagon Radio. Find us online, spankwagon.net. I'm Trencher.
And I'm Big Daddy Decaf.
I said at the beginning of the show that I got some emails, and this week I did get a couple emails. So one's a little more of a service email, just to get it out there and talk about it. But I did get this one from one of our syndicates. If you listen through Nomad Radio Network, the doctor from Nomad called and said that he's going to let us know that as of January 30th, 2008, Nomad Radio Network will be off the air for a brief time as we are relocating our studios to beautiful Elliott Lake. I have no clue where he's
Elliott
at.
Lake, what?
I don't know.
Michigan, Colorado, Afghanistan.
A lake in Afghanistan. You'd figure they'd call it something a little more popular than, or a little more wow than Elliott. We are in Afghanistan. We need a lake name. Let's call it Elliot.
Elliot.
That is good. That's close to Elion. Americans will find it. No. We hope to be back on the air within a matter of days. Why bother sending out the email? I'm just picking. You know what, though?
Especially if it's Sunday through Thursday.
Yeah, you know. It doesn't count for us. If there is any change, I'll be sure to email you all immediately. It was a great pleasure. I look forward to 2008 with such professionals as yourselves to work with.
Professionals, huh?
That's a form letter if I've ever seen one. Professionalism.
That must have went out to everybody, not just us. Yeah. Okay.
Professionalism usually ends somewhere on the street before you get in the gate to the studio. Right about there.
Yeah,
absolutely. But yeah, they're going to be relocating. So if you are a listener through the Nomad Radio Network, you ain't going to be listening to us for a little bit. January 30th. Although I wish they would update the website. I don't know. It still bugs me that it looks absolutely positively, totally like GeoCities 97.
GeoCities is a
shit I shit you not. Like anybody listening, if you're on podcast or live, take a note and go to spangwagon.net. Click on the Nomad Radio Network link on the bottom or on the left-hand side on the syndicate side. And you will swear to God your browser just went all the way back in time to Netscape 3.1.
So pretty much it doesn't have like the big Lycos banners and shit at the very
close. Dog pile. Not Lycos. What was the one? Searchbot ones.
Or the worst was the Net Zero, free Net Zero when it first came out.
I remember
and
that.
And half the screen was banner. Then you get like a little shit for the.
I remember that. Oh.
He's like, you get free internet service and shit wouldn't load up half the time. And
yeah.
Then you can't even see shit because it's covered up with banners all the time.
Oh,
pop-ups.
Shit. Pop-ups. Well, that was pre-pop-ups, though. I mean, pop-ups are kind of a modern nuisance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll go on that. So we've done that kind of topic before. But I got another email here. This one came in from Joker. As you know, he called in a couple weeks ago. Yeah, Joker. He called in a couple weeks ago to talk to us about the Iowa primaries. He actually sent an email to us. Talking about comments you made last week there, Decaf.
Okay.
White celebrity versus black athlete. He writes, what about the black athletes who have gotten off without jail time? Black celebrities who have gotten off without jail time. Halle Berry did a hit and run, no jail time. Whitney Houston was given how many passes before a crack-smoking ass finally landed in jail? Your Honor, it was all Bobby. And how about O.J. fucking Simpson? He literally got away with murder. He goes on to say, I could see his point, but when a majority of athletes are black and athletes, I like the redundancy.
In which I did say that.
Yep. I love the redundancy. When a majority of athletes are black and athletes, thank you, Joker, any color, are known to do very stupid things because they can get away with it. Can you really claim it's a race issue? The system does reward those with celebrity, sports or otherwise, over an average Joe. So I think it's just a numbers game with athletes. More black athletes equals more black athletes get in trouble. He goes on to say, the system sucks. People with money, regardless of race, will always get a better treatment than us poor and average folk.
And I agree with Joker. I do agree. You know, sometimes you come aggressive with it. And you know, I do, in the back of my head, I can't say I'm 100%. I don't think it's 100%. I mean, I still think it still does exist where I do think it is unequal justice just because, you know, and it's going to be hard to change that being a black person to see it that way, you know, and then being taught that way and then actually, you know, seeing it from, you know, from where I grew up and stuff. So, and I do get his point. And I did mention that I know that it is a lot of black athletes. So, of course, the majority is going to, you know, the ones going to get in trouble are going to be black athletes because they dominate the sports field, you know, And also now that Dana Stubblefield, like I was just telling Trichard through the break, you know, that Stubblefield got 6 months of jail too, just like Marion Jones for lying to, you know, investigators. I guess it is starting to become more of an even ground. But there's not a whole ton of black celebrities that got off compared to white ones, if I can recall. A lot of white people got away with stuff. But, yeah, the Halle Berry hit and run was probably one of the biggest, you know, no, unpunishable. I don't know what did she get? She got nothing for
it. Well,
I
don't think she got anything for it. You know, and you want to look at, I mean, let's look at another, a couple other, like, celebrity vehicular issues. You know, Billy Joel has hit a few people drunk driving. Matthew Broderick killed someone drunk driving. I mean,
damn,
this is,
I didn't know Matthew Broderick.
You know, too. I mean, and they're still doing their trade. They're still making movies.
Movies
and stuff.
Still getting their nominations and all this other stuff. So, you know, then of course Robert Blake. Well, we know the fuck he was guilty, and then had the nerve to say after he got off, oh, they took all my money away. You know, they might as well threw me in jail because now I'm broke and I have nothing because I didn't defend myself. Do you fucking blast your wife? You know you did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Come on. You know, the security guard, this and that, and all this other shit. You know he killed her. But the thing is, you know, they had the nerve to talk about how broke he is afterwards and mad about it. He said, you lucky your ass ain't get in the gas chamber.
You know, and that's one of the things. He's not an A-list celebrity by any stretch of the imagination.
But he still got off.
But he got off. You know, he got away with it.
Yeah.
You know? I know that, you know, with the steroids, still a lot of, you know, a lot of stuff going on. Another lawsuit that has popped up over steroids in New York. A longtime baseball fan is now suing the New York Yankees over some player's reported use of performance-enhancing drugs. A fan is suing for repayment of $221 worth of tickets and a public response from his once-beloved team, the Yankees. He says, I took it almost as consumer fraud, says Matthew Mitchell, 30, a Brooklyn resident who said he went to his first game at Yankee Stadium in 1984. And if I'm going to watch a baseball game, then I expect it to be the real thing. So far, the Yankees have declined to comment. The paralegal filed his lawsuit in small claims court in Brooklyn last week, less than a month after former U.S. State Majority Leader George Mitchell released a report linking 85 Major League Baseball players, including 20 current and former Yankees, to illegal use of steroids and other performance-enhancing formulations. Matthew Mitchell wants to be reimbursed for tickets to five games between 2002 and 2007. They include Game 2 of the 2003 World Series, in which pitcher Andy Pettitte led the Yankees to a win. Pettitte was named in the steroids report released December 13th and has since admitted to using HGH, or human growth hormone, to recover from an elbow surgery in 2002. Baseball's banned HGH in January 2005. Pettitte said he used it to heal faster, not to enhance his performance, and stressed that he never used steroids. Mitchell, the little guy, said he filed the lawsuit chiefly because he wanted team representatives to be forced to come down and answer his claim. A court date is set for February 20th. So, go ahead.
I don't know. It's kind of like... Now, is it like if people go see Rambo, am I going to get my money back from Rambo because Sylvester Stallone took steroids to get in that condition to have a machete and cut off someone's head on screen? I mean, honestly, it's like...
Yeah, but you're looking at it in the realm that, you know, Sylvester Stallone had to take something to juice up. He had to juice up to get into shape. There's no way about it. He's, what, 83 now? So there's no way around it. What this guy is, this Mitchell, not the big one that did the big report, but the little paralegal guy, I think he's doing it just to get the association, whether it's the Yankee Clubhouse or someone from the Baseball Association to come say, yeah, okay, this is it. And to get them, he's putting him on the spot in a very unique way. He's not going after a major lawsuit. He's not doing this purely for headlines. He's only doing it for $221 minus his filing fees, because you know he's not going to win, really, unless they really totally don't show.
Which brings up my question, because let me see. Have you been to any of the wrestling events or pay-per-view or anything like that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Any of the people who are caught using steroids in the WWE?
I'm sure I have rented a pay-per-view or, got a pay-per-view that where they did, yes.
Now, did you enjoy everyone that you've seen or every event that you went to?
I think there's a difference, though, and I know where you're going with this. Yes, I did enjoy the show.
So, in which, then, I mean, in turn, would you go back because two wrestlers out of, you know what, like 20 or 25 that performed that day. So two wrestlers is on the steroid list and take steroids during the time you were watching them. Would you demand, would you take it to small claims and demand your money back?
I would not. I would not, because that's not my, you know, my line of thought is, oh, I'm going to sue them and make them pay for my tickets because they were cheating. No, because first off, wrestling is more in the realm of the entertainment. Wrestling is more of the realm of, you know, it's choreographed fighting. It's a fight scene from your favorite movie is what it is. Just replayed over and over and over again. That's what wrestling really truly is. This guy, I don't think he's really going for the tickets. I really don't. I think ultimately what he's trying to do and what he's trying to accomplish is to get someone from the Yankee organization to come to the small claims court
and tell him what we already know. that the only reason why they were doing steroids is to perform, you know, enhance their performance.
I think it's not to tell them what we already know. It's to own up to it and get an apology. Where's the apology?
Hey, well, Seeley got an extension. That was his. You know what I'm saying? He was the father over the whole steroids era, and he gets an expansion of his contract. So what the fuck does that tell you?
Well, I'll tell you what. First off, I could say this: Bud Selig, the head douchebag in charge of Major League Baseball, should not be. You know, should not have had his job given to him until 2010 or 2012.
Yeah,
2012. I think that is a serious, serious mistake. Bud Selig is not a proactive individual. He has not done anything for baseball that is considered proactive. He's done everything he can in a reactive manner. I understand that he's in charge of a rather large organization that makes a lot of money. And that is a tough thing to do. And it's very hard to be proactive. But other people have done it. Other organizations have done it. I mean, let's take a look at what NBA did.
Yeah.
The NBA has been working very hard since, I would say, 2003 to clean its image up.
Yeah.
It will not allow its players to go out in public unless they're dressed appropriately. In other words, nice shirt, khaki slacks, suits.
Yeah.
You know, you damn near have to wear black tie affair to go anything and do anything in the public. You can't dress thug, ghetto, you know, or whatever other definition you want to give the hip hop, if I could say it as ever so white as possible, look or style. It got a lot of negative press. It gets a lot of negative attitude toward from the players and the players' union. But it's trying to send a sign. It's trying to send a proactive sign. Whether or not it's the right thing to do, well, I'm not going to debate that. But it's trying to clean up the act before the act goes totally to hell. Obviously, their commissioners understand that. Yeah, okay, this is kind of looking shady and pretty crappy. We need to clean it up.
Yeah.
So we need to do it now before.
Especially after that big fight. That was really the main, to run our test, the whole fight.
Oh, whatever. That was it, too.
that was probably the breaking line right there.
And that could have turned really, really bad. And we could be hearing a lot more about crimes and criminals and stuff like that coming out of the NBA. But we don't, thankfully, now.
Yeah.
But I think that's what this fan's doing. He's just trying to get someone to say, yeah, we did it.
So do you think someone's for the Yankee organization is actually going to go down and do it, or they're going to find a way to get out of it?
They're going to find a way to get out of it. I mean, it's a small claims, yeah. You know, so obviously there's not big money.
They can send like 14 lawyers down there.
They could make this guy's life miserable.
Yeah.
But that's why you filed it in small claims, because you can't do certain things in small claims that you can do in a law, because first off, you can't have representation in small claims. You can't do things like that. So, you know, no big shot lawyers, they do come out and they got to pretty much shut up.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. But we'll see. February 20th is when the guy said, when the court date is actually there. So if we remember to follow up on it here at the Wagon, we absolutely will. So, all right, Decaf, did you have anything you wanted to bring to the table tonight?
Well, I guess that's one of the things I want to bring up was about the whole Bud Selig getting an extension and Dana Stubblefield and the thing. And I'm trying to think, was it something else? That was
Bud Selig's extension kind of intrigues me. I'm wondering under what grounds they thought that was.
I don't know. That's the thing. You like you come out, you get tainted as being the commissioner for one of the worst, you know, biggest frauds during the baseball era, and you get a 3-year extension.
It doesn't make sense.
Your contribution? I mean,
what?
Yeah, it's like, which is what? What was his contribution? And they went through his contributions. It was like four, I think it was like three things he changed. He made it where the wild cards in baseball. God, what was it?
So we had the wild cards in the baseball. We have the. Well, wait a minute. The All-Star game actually means something now. I mean, but that was reactionary. That wasn't proactive.
And I think the reformatting of the leagues or the
well, how many? I mean, was he the one that brought in all the extension teams?
Yeah, and I think he did the reformatting for, you know, where people are. That's it. That's all he did. So you there? So I think he's been there since 92.
Yeah,
he's been there since 92. Haven't done a fucking thing.
and you get a job guaranteed.
And the steroid era, and you get an this shit on your couch.
You get to do 20 years in this position that, you know, I don't think it's warranted. I'm not a super sports guy. You know, you can throw stats and numbers in front of me and I won't catch you. You can throw names that I will never know and they're big names and I'll just go, whoa. You know, and I watch plenty of baseball, in my opinion. I watch plenty of college hoops and college football and, you know, some professional football and some professional basketball and some hockey, you know, but I can't say anything other than the fact that Selig did – well, no. I mean, even then, I'd rather watch – I like watching AAA games. So, I mean, I don't even count in that sense because I'm an oddball. I'll go to a AAA baseball game and have a good time, you know. So, I don't know. It's hard to say. I wish I had more to say or wish I had a comment I could make that – sounds intelligent,
well,
but I don't.
Yeah, well, I stopped watching baseball anyway, so.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, sitting at home today and just watching a lot of fucking ESPN. You just, you know, you just hear the shit or things people talk about. Or the guy from the golf magazine.
Yes, the Tiger Woods.
The Tiger Woods.
The story where she basically made a comment. A friend
now,
of
have
his.
You actually seen a comment?
Yeah.
It was like, even I when she said it, I don't even think I would have even.
I wouldn't
kinda,
put a race.
Honestly, I wouldn't
to
even kind of. If I really sat up and actually had absolutely no life where I was actually
why don't you
forced
share
to watch golf. and I forgot the chick's name, Kelly something.
Yeah.
And so they're like, you know, there is just the two people on their stage, you know, doing their thing. And then she said, yeah, they have to lynch him in the park a lot for anyone else to win. You know, giving Tiger Woods a compliment. And then, of course. And lynching is terrible. It's this and that, and this and that, and you know, the past and black people. You should not say it or whatever. So she got suspended for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. which is like, damn. You know, I think that was even more extreme. And Tiger Woods didn't care.
Yeah, he didn't care. As a matter of fact, you know, Tiger Woods didn't care. And she's a friend of Tiger Woods.
Yeah.
It's not like he doesn't know her. Yeah. He's chatted with her. He's hung out with the family. I mean, it's like families know each other.
But it was the leader of the black community
yep.
who wanted to stretch it out.
Hey, I got a phone call. Okay. Let's see who this is. Spankwagon Radio, you're on the air.
This is your warranty expiration notice. Your vehicle warranty has expired. You have been notified by mail several times, but
I
have
get a
not
lot
responded.
Of these.
Press 1 to renew your warranty now.
Damn.
What's interesting?
I forward my calls here.
Oh, that's it. Have you noticed? Do you get a lot of those kind of calls?
What, at home?
The warranty expiration?
No, I haven't.
Well, they fucking follow me here because I get like two or three of these
really?
A week.
I've never got one of those before. No. All I get is Baraka on my phone now.
You know, let's switch gears from one black man to another. Barack Obama is canvassing Las Vegas like no one else.
I know. He's everywhere. His signs are huge.
Huge. he's covering Vegas. He's I watch. What was it? Today. This morning I woke up to go out and get my paper, which I still haven't figured out why they're still delivering because I canceled it, but that's another story altogether. Under my mats tucked some, you know, vote for Barack Obama. Barack Obama will save the children in the world and everything in 2008. Great. Go inside, put in the trash, go do dishes. A little while later, I get a doorbell rings, ding dong, you know, running, you know, doing, I can't remember what I was doing. I go to the door. Hi, how can I help you? He goes, I'm here for the campaign of Barack Obama. Already voting for him. I mean, I am. I really, truly am. So, I mean, I'm not even lying. I'm already voting for him. So he already won me over already. Oh, that's great. Well, here's some information. I'm like, thanks. Same stuff I threw away that morning. Phone calls, 3 phone calls so far today.
Yeah, I think
now,
I got 2.
I don't feel nearly as bad as what they had in Iowa. We heard about how bad it was in Iowa from Joker on the phone. But it seems like it's like last minute. Dude, it's carpet bombing politics in the last minute.
Yeah,
everything they can
expected.
Do.
I got a call from Ron Paul, too, today.
Oh, really? How is Ron?
Ron said he's going to renew or uphold the Constitution and bring America back to how America should be.
And you know what? Unfortunately, you know, all he's really doing is he's the Republican Ralph Nader. Now, it's dawned on me. He's the Republican's Ralph Nader. He's there to purely screw up. Everything else.
Yeah, that's pretty much. You are 100% correct.
There's some things he says I'm kind of like, wow, yeah, right on. And then there's some things I'm starting to see more and more of it like, what the fuck?
Now the thing is, when you watch, when they blitzing with the Baraka commercials, and, you know, and when he's talking in his commercials, you really get into what he's saying. You know, you get drawn in when you hear it. And then they show Hillary, and she's like, 35 years of experience in healthcare. You know what I mean? It's not really anything. She's just kind of just, you know, having the, you know, the, what is it called? The, when they just roll a bunch of pictures.
Yeah. You know what, though? Here's the funny thing about Hillary. She says, 35 years experience with healthcare. Yeah, but nothing happened. Nothing changed. Bill Clinton is so far, you know, in my opinion, you know, a great president who got shit on by a lot of political blowhards. He was the president during the time when they really had partisan. Just boom, exploded around this guy. She didn't do shit. He wasn't able to accomplish shit because during his last the second presidency, his second four years.
Lame duck.
Well, no, he wasn't even a lame duck. He was sitting there fighting off the, I had sex problems. Yes, okay, we get it. He fucked a chick with a cigar. He got a Hummer in the office. Wonderful. Who in power wouldn't want... You're in power. I don't care if you're a president of a country, if you're a dictator. I don't care if you're the fucking president of a corporation. You know... If you're in your office, which is the biggest badass office in the world, it's the corner office with everything in it, with the executive rooms off the side, you get your own, I don't care. You're going to get a blowjob in your office. It's going to happen.
There's no way that it's not. And I'm sure even old Bush got a couple, blowjobs too.
I'm so sure of it. You know, he's sitting in, you know, well, if not the Oval Office, he's sitting in the White House. And he's like, Laura, come here. No, you know he had to. I mean,
it just
otherwise is really ignorant.
It really is.
But Barack Obama, he's carpet bombing right now. Hillary Clinton, not as impressed.
I'm getting very, very stunned that Barack really came out. He's fucking putting the balls to the walls. He's not fucking around. And, you know, you see his commercials and people, you know, when you start, like I said last week, when you start seeing, like, young white teenagers and everything wearing Baraka, you know, Baraka shirts, and, you know, I hear white people talking about in bars and stuff. You know, that's one thing. It's like, okay, yeah, okay, Baraka. Yeah, you know, white people's going to be like, yeah, you don't know, but whatever. But I hear a lot of bar conversations going to places that people bring up the, you know, politics. So I just like to hear what, you know, overhear what people, you know, say in their opinions. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people's like, man, that Baraka looks pretty good. I think I'm going to go vote for Baraka. And so I was like, you know, like white dudes in the fucking leather jackets and the beards and shit. I'm voting for Baraka. I was like, wow, I'm impressed.
He won Iowa.
Yeah.
Okay. I will tell you right now. Yes, full disclosure, I am from Iowa. I moved away from there when I was 22 years old. I moved away there when I was 22 years old. Very racist state. That state has like a chip on its shoulder. It's a very progressive, open-minded state, but there are pockets.
Yeah.
Especially in the town I came from, Waterloo, Iowa, which is the worst. Well, you know, I think Joker said it best. It's the dump in Iowa, basically. he didn't say that, but he said something else. But anyhow, it's a failed factory town, is what he said. And very racist town, very segregated town, intentionally and otherwise. And they voted for Barack Obama? Wow. Holy cow. You know, we're talking, you know, we talk Nevada politics, we used to on the show a lot, you know, where you get down here in Las Vegas, very, very liberal. I mean, liberal. Not the bad term of liberal, but the good term of liberal is, you know, it's very open, very free-minded. People kind of just, more people have to roll with the flow down here than they do up north. More people, you know, obviously, though, but you get these parts, Beatty and Mesquite and all these little rural parts of Nevada. And they're all staunch Republican. They're just hardcore, you know. And that's going to be tough because we've been a Republican state for a long time.
And this Clark County, that's the only county of every county in the state.
Of seven counties in the state.
That is liberal. That goes liberal every time.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. I'm probably going to be going for Obama. My wife is going to be caucusing for John Edwards. She likes the stuff he has to say.
The endless chaser.
Yes, the ambulance chaser, the lizard, basically. I don't know.
John Edwards looks so fucking full of shit to me when I see him talk. He's like, I mean, but people like him because he's a good-looking dude, and he's a smooth talker. He does talk smooth.
Yeah,
he
does.
He's a smooth talker. He knows he got the, my father and I, we go, and we're going to build buildings together, and, you know. But he hasn't gave one hint of anything of doing anything.
No, I don't know what
he stands on. What does he stand on?
I don't know either. I can't figure it out.
The only thing he stands on is trying to bash everybody else for what they say. But has nothing to qualify what he's trying to say.
And that's what I've heard so far. Now, I've been listening to stuff like Obama. Yeah, he does explain what he's going to do. It's not super fleshed out. So, come on, people. It's not like he's going to solve our crisis today. But it's better than, can't even remember the name now. We were just talking about him. It's not any better than Edwards.
Oh, yeah.
And it absolutely damn sure is better than Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
Because I should say it's better than Edwards and way better than Clinton. Because Clinton, she doesn't answer a question.
No.
And she won New Hampshire on a sympathy vote.
Oh, was it a sympathy vote they got it?
That crying incident. She missed it up. She sort of, showed a little bit of emotion in her eyes. That got the vote. No, that's not it, people. You're voting the wrong reasons again.
Yeah.
I don't know why people kept voting for Bush. They were voting for the wrong reasons. They could have done. I mean, I would have been happy with a different. Just give me a different Republican in office. Hell, have Ron Paul run then. There you go. It's hard to say, though. I mean, I know our caucuses are tomorrow here in Nevada. We share them, I think, with North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the two. Same day. So we'll see how this turns out. And we'll see who wins Nevada. Yeah. Are you going to go caucus tomorrow?
I don't know. I should, though, huh? Are you going?
We plan on it, yeah. My wife was like, well, I'm not taking you along if you're not voting for Edwards. I'm like, well, how's that fair and smart? Way to be a Democrat. Way to be, support that Constitution there by saying you shouldn't go along because you're not going to vote for my guy.
Yeah, that's a terrible reason, too.
You know, my wife now is now guilty of voter fraud. Love
it. Where's the caucus is in different places?
Yeah.
Depending
on where you live and depending on where they have you registered to live. Like, I think mine is actually in a different location than my wife's.
Is that something they say you in the mail, or is it like a website you go to? And
actually, there should be a website. You should be able to find it, or you should get some packets that tell you your precinct. I not packets like we usually get. Like, most of our elections, we get packets that explain the candidates, their basic position and information. And then anything else to vote on. Like, the last general election we had here, we got these gigantic packets talking about tax breaks for this and how to, and the smoking ban in public places that weren't casinos and all that other stuff.
Yeah.
We get these packets. I haven't got anything this year. I haven't got anything. I just have my voter registration card. My wife is basically going to become, she hasn't received a voter registration card. So she's filling it out at the location when we go there. We don't know how long this is going to take, even. So it's going to be a long day. I have a bad feeling.
Oh, so you'll be there for a while.
I think we're going to be there for a while, yeah. So I encourage everybody, though, to go experience this. So, I mean, it's going to be something interesting. It's going to be something worth talking about. So
that's very true.
That's the plan, at least.
All right. I think it's about that time.
Yeah, I think we're going to go do another one-songer. You are listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
Wow. We'll be back in just a moment. You weirdo.
Some will learn, many do. Cover up or spread it out. Turn around, had enough. They can choose or pass it on. Suffer now, suffer then, it's bad enough. I want the fear, need the fear, cause he's a loser.
That ended a little bit sooner than I thought it was going to. Oops. All right, Spankwagon Radio. You can find us online, spankwagon.net. We also want to point out our phone lines are open, so if you ever want to join us, have a comment or anything, just give us a call, 1-866-LV-ROCKS. That's 1-866-587-6257. Of course, all that information is online. Just click on the Contact Us link at the top of the page, or at the bottom of the page, or somewhere on the left-hand side, I think. And, well, all those ways will get you all the information you need. Email addresses, times of the show. I mean, everything. Everything and every way to contact us. So I'm looking at some information. I actually found this online, and I actually had some more news and more fun stuff. Next week I got to, because I know she's not going to listen to the podcast, so Scrappy's going to help us with sex terms, basically what certain words mean and what their definition is. So she's going to help us with that.
Now help us in a way that you weren't going to see if she actually know what the fuck they are?
Or no, she won't know what they are, but I want to get her reaction to them, because as far as I'm concerned, you got to... And this is so weird. Obviously, it's totally true that older women are the sexual prime, you know,
yeah,
than younger, because she is the most near prudish, big boobied 20-year-old I've ever seen in my life. I mean, you know, on MySpace, she's considered abnormal, you know, because it isn't half naked pictures in that mirror.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's very true.
So that's very, very weird. Nonetheless, moving right along, we have a list here that I found online, and I like this list, but it's all wrong. See, this list tells us 10 things you should never do at work. Decaf and I, however, both work in a very, well, we are in an office environment.
Yeah.
You are IT, myself, I, you know, do you have anybody that reports to you?
That reports to me?
Yeah. No. I'm in a position where I have people report to me. So, you know, I've seen a lot of things done on this list, and I'm going to help everyone. Okay. The list here is 10 things you should never do at work. And what we want to do is we're going to go through all 10. We figured this will be our big big segment. So we're going to go through all 10 of these items. We'll go from 1 to 10 and go from there and give everybody advice as to how not only then they could do it, but maybe some stories if we have them. And if you have any stories out there, we encourage you to call in 1-866-LV-ROCKS, 1-866-587-6257. We want to hear your stories that fit in with what we're talking about. So the number one item on my list here, of course, is the things you should never do at work is stealing. Whether you think that the company owes you things like Post-its, pens, or other office supplies, or simply because you don't think it's a big deal, you should be sure about that in case your coworker or boss catches you. Stealing can get you fired, and it's illegal. What have you stolen from an office?
Staplers.
Ooh.
Wow. Post-its.
Okay, so the basic?
Hard drives. Mice.
What?
Keyboards.
You've stolen mice and keyboards?
Nah, I didn't steal it. I mean, we were going to throw it away, so just kind of just walked out with it.
Oh.
Or I was about to go to the site and fix something and brought some stuff in the car and just kind of forgot that it was there.
Oh, okay. All right.
So I don't know if you would consider that stealing. I guess that's called accidental theft.
Yeah, accidental theft. Yeah.
But nothing really big. Not like a whole PC or anything. I think mostly like, I guess just pens and staplers. And I remember when I left one place and I took a bunch of office stuff, I went and got a bag and started throwing a bunch of shit in it to make it like it was my going away stuff, because I was just going away. So I was like, pens, staplers, Post-its, whiteout.
Nice. Nice. All right. In my office environment at one time, actually, I helped someone. I didn't steal it myself because I didn't need it, but I helped someone steal toilet paper. One of this dude, it was a peer, so he was working on the supervisor level. He was flat broke. He was one of these people that, you know, he couldn't manage a dollar if it was in his own pocket glued. Okay? He just couldn't manage that dollar.
Yeah.
So he ran out of toilet paper in the house, so he needed toilet paper. So he went up to the supply cabinet upstairs because we had toilet paper in the supply cabinet. You know, we're talking that cheap.
Yeah.
Cheap. 50 cents a roll. Cardboard not, actually made into a
not,
roll.
So it's not the ones like when the big ass rolls?
No.
Know, the big circle ones?
No.
It
was average, ordinary toilet paper. You know, not Charmin, more like Harmon. You know, it wasn't squeezably soft. It was rock chiselingly hard. You know, if you had a turd, it would climb back in you knowing it would have to go into that toilet paper. You might as well have been wiping your ass with a Brillo pad. But I helped him steal it. You know, he basically needed toilet paper. So I said, okay, well, here's the key. Let's go get some toilet paper. You know, you're out. I don't want to see you with smelly drawers tomorrow. You know? So, yeah, I don't know. Ways to steal from work, though, well, first off, you need a good alibi. I mean, we're talking a really, really good alibi. If someone catches you in the supply cabinet, lie off your ass. First off, don't grab and finish grabbing what you were looking for, what you needed. Grab the thing you didn't need. Green ink pens. Every supply cabinet I've ever seen in every company has like one box of ink pens that are green ink.
Yeah.
Take one. I needed this because I needed to be able to separate something I was writing from something else I was writing. Cover your ass that way.
Well, another way to do it is what people do is they want to get greedy. Now, unless it's your last day and it's a free for all, but I think, you know, the process is slowly taking stuff. You know, if it's like a stapler that you want, let's take the staples first. If it's if it's a box of pens you want, take a pen at a time. Just make it like, well, people must be using them up. You know, if you want Post-its. You know, you could take, you know, leave it on your desk for a while, you know, have it like use a couple notes off of it, take it home with you.
Yeah.
So, you just kind of just slowly, you know, instead of going in and just taking a bunch of stuff where you're going to notice that it's a big chunk of stuff, you know, just slowly, gradually take something.
What Decaf is basically saying to everybody is do the Alcatraz method of stealing. Okay. Take your teaspoon and dig one little hole and ditch the dirt. Okay.
Exactly.
One little teaspoon, dig your little hole a little deeper, ditch the dirt. Don't make it obvious. Take it piece by piece. Now, he's not saying take it one sheet at a time. No, 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 no. I have resourced reallocated copy paper. I know I've done that in the past. And I always kind of justify it as resource reallocation. I figure they have 20 boxes a week that gets delivered. I don't think they'll miss a ream when I need it.
Yeah. A ream or half a ream, or
half
just
a
take
ream.
Or in the whole or in the week, just take some a chunk at a time. Put in a folder that you bring to
exactly.
work.
Exactly, your home printer doesn't need more than 25 sheets at a time.
Yeah, or if another thing is to make sure if you start having a folder, you know, start bringing a folder to work every day and it's just stuff paper in it. It'd take some at a time, and people won't know any difference because you always have the folder.
Exactly. All right, so moving on. Number two on the things you should never do at work. You should never blame someone else for your mistake. It's dishonest, childish, tacky, very tacky. Sure, having to admit you've made a mistake is embarrassing, but not nearly as embarrassing as it would have to admit you lied or tried to cover it up. Decaf.
I've never put the blame on somebody, but I did let someone take the blame when they brought the person up for something I did. So,
really?
So
care to go into detail?
Okay. It's before we changed down the system. It was a while ago where... It was two accounts, and I didn't think they really track it that much. You know, two people have fines, two of my friends, so I went in and cleared their fines, you know.
Oh,
It was not that much. It was like $20 or whatever for like a loss something, you know, book video or whatever.
All
so,
right.
I cleared
wait,
fine.
Wait. You cleared out a 20-buck fine, and I feel guilty when I let my fine get up to a quarter. I better pay my quarter.
Yeah. So I cleared it out for them, you know, whatever. I was like, okay, I didn't think nothing big about it, but I guess they was keeping track because – the way I did it the wrong way. I didn't waive it. I think I made it like I made a payment, right? So they were $40 short. So they're looking at the cash register to see because they're not so paid.
They were looking at the till.
And because there's nothing there. So when they came to me and asked me about it, I was like, no, you know, all denial or whatever. Then they said, I think it was this person because this and that or whatever, right? So I didn't. I didn't say anything.
You didn't own up to it.
I didn't own up to it. I just let it go.
Well,
like
I will say at one of my work environments, there is a way that people can access accounts that include their information on them, and they will get fired, and I will do so gleefully. So I'm not all down with that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't blame people for my mistakes. I blame technology first and foremost, and I've done this. Yeah, I've done this in my current job a few times, weekly, where basically what I'll do is if I have something that needs to get done, I'll have a deadline or whatever, and I have to get it done. And oh my gosh, I had that email. Let me go search my emails, because I'm pretty. Everybody knows that if you look into my email folders, I am very organized and I don't lose an email. When I lose an email, it's not 9 times out of 10. I'll say 50-50 shot that I deleted it intentionally. So I'll blame the technology. I had it. I swear to God. You know what? common rule, I should say common excuse in my office, and I everybody does this and you can catch on. My rules must be broken.
Yeah.
Because everybody uses Outlook. My rules are broken. That's what happened here. Now, I've never done this on anything that was major. Good God, no. I enjoy my employment. You know, it's like it's like little shit. Like, hey, it's your day to do this. Oh, yeah. Well, my rules must have caught that email. And let me go take care of it now.
Yeah.
And I'll go do it. I'll get it done, and it'll be done right in the way it should have been. I just didn't want to do it there, and I figured I'll just make it disappear for a while. But it does catch up to me on that one. Other ways, though, you could blame someone else for your mistake. First off, learn everybody else's usernames and passwords. You have to realize you are the smartest person you know. So everybody else is pretty stupid. Learn their kids' names, because it's always their kid's name plus one for user and passwords. And, of course, usernames. Just think what your username is for whatever you do at work. And remember that their name and username is probably going to be pretty similar. Another thing I would do is, if you got to blame technology, spill soda in someone else's keyboard. That way it shorts it out. Technologically speaking, you could get away with murder, but IT is only looking at their computer and, of course, getting them fired.
Yeah, I think the best way to do it is blame without blaming them. Make suggestions. The way that is not so much to you're not giving up somebody and saying they're doing it, but suggested to get them their eyes off of you. Like, well, normally I don't come in at this time, or I was the last person here, but so and so was here earlier today.
There you go. Or wow, I know I handed that one off to someone. Who did I hand that? I handed that off to them. See what they said about that, and get back to me if you need my help still. Yeah, that's kind of the fact. I've gotten burned with that one.
Oh, you go. You someone did it.
Oh,
they
said you did this. I did. I go. Shall we find out where I was at this time? Please, let's do this. You know. You know what's funny is I have actually some people who work for me and with me who are listening to this podcast, and now they're going to be retracing every email I've ever sent to them, or retracing every email they've sent to me. This is going to be fun. Number three on the 10 things you should never do at work. You should never at work spread gossip. Who knows why people get a certain high from hearing juicy gossip? Many of us are guilty of passing along at least a few rumors at a time. The more you can avoid doing so, though, the better off you will be. Try to avoid it. In addition, if you hear it, don't repeat it. Gossip at work. Guilty?
Guilty of gossiping, making up stuff? Yeah, probably. I mean,
making up shit?
No, I've never really. I mean, the thing is I kind of see things, and I kind of make assumptions. Sometimes I'll tell somebody, and then the person thinks it's funny, and then they'll tell someone else, whatever. Not initiating gossip, more in a joking manner. I like, you know, I wonder if this dude is fucking her, because every time they go, you know, something, right? The next thing you know, boom, 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 everyone's saying.
So you mean Murph and Scrappy.
Exactly.
Not telling us exactly why they can't be here, but just saying they can't be here.
And that's the shit I put together, that I put it out there to people like, hey, and the next thing you know, it passes on. But then there's some things that, like, those gossip, and I hear it, it's like, okay, or some things are like, oh, yeah, I already knew, or some things, like, I could tell. And then there's some things that is just, like, you know, you really start to look at what the gossip is, and you put one piece and one piece together, you're like, it may be true. So I guess I am guilty for passing it on, and I'm probably guilty for actually starting it up, not intentionally, like, I'm going to try to sabotage this person, so I'm going to say these nasty things about them. It's just, you know, you see it, and you just kind of tell one of your friends, and then their friend, you know, they tell someone else, and the next thing you know, it's gossip.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. Here's a story. Gossip has burned me at work once. Everybody knows Stitz, who's been in the studio a few times. Well, what a lot of people realize, and I think some hear it, is that I'm not a huge Stitz fan. Never have been, never will be. One of the main reasons was back in the day, he actually started a rumor at work that said that within 6 months I was going to get fired or quit because I was not doing my job the way I was supposed to, and my supervisor at the time hated me and all this other really interesting stuff. Well, it immediately gets back to me because Stitz isn't – he's liked, but no one trusts him kind of a thing at that time. And so it got back to me pretty quick, and I immediately went to the supervisor and says, hell, you're looking to let me go? You're trying to get me fired? What the heck's going on? Fully believing the rumor. Boy, did I make a mistake getting an earful on that. They're like, what the hell? What are you talking about? Whoops. So, no, I wasn't going to get fired. I wasn't in any trouble. I wasn't, you know. But it was that rumor. That rumor really, really hit hard. It's very dangerous.
Yeah.
Ways you can get away with rumors, though, at work. First off, don't make it subtle. If you are going to tell a rumor at work, you know, of course, don't say, you know, someone's pregnant by someone else or someone's, you know, fucking someone else.
Just say, you know, I think she's pregnant.
Yeah, just start off light. Like, you know, have you noticed that Susie there kind of has a different glow about her? And have you noticed Bill's kind of avoiding her more often now? What's going on with that? Subtle. Very subtle. Yeah, let them come to the conclusion, because that way they're the ones saying, hey, Susie's pregnant by Bill. Ah!
Then the machine start rolling.
Yeah, exactly. Another way to subtly start a rumor is to basically, well, you know, act funny around the person. Kind of like give them the once over in front of other people. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
In front of other people. So that way other people see that you're, like, suspicious of something.
You know, another thing is that I guess, you know, the thing about that I'm guilty of is I'll go and tell one person one thing, and I'll tell the other person, like, the second half of the gossip.
Ooh.
Right? I'll go, like, you know what? I think, and I think, you know, every time he looks at her and stuff like that, you know, da-da-da-da, they go to the other person and say, yeah, every time he's around, she always reacts to this, whatever, right? And then they'll start talking, and then next thing they, you know, so you just kind of get, you know, throw them a teaser, give them one person a piece, and throw another person a piece of gossip, and then let them come to their own conclusion about what's going on. Then the wheel of gossip will start rolling.
Yes, and that's what you do. You just kind of let them talk it out.
Yeah.
Very, very, very ingenious. All right. Next thing here. Number four of the 10 things you should never do at work. You should never call in sick when you're perfectly healthy.
Shit.
If you wake up, if you wake up and just cannot face the idea of going on to work, there's no reason, unless this happens every day, that you shouldn't give yourself a little vacation, personal or mental health day. Nevertheless, calling in sick is not only irresponsible and insensitive to the coworkers, but it also should be grounds for firing if you're caught.
Can't be grounds for firing. Right. Even the supervisors fucking do
it. Even the supervisors do it. Everyone does it. Everyone needs a mental health day. There are days. Now, this year, I actually have been pretty good. Since I've become a dad, I don't take sick days except for my son.
Yeah.
Until this year, I actually took two sick days. I was actually, like, with the flu, sick on my ass, 102 fever, was miserable. I was sick. My old job. I hated my old job when I worked telemarketing. I would, about once every 2 months, need a three-day weekend. Three-day weekend. But the problem was, it was too suspicious to do it on a Saturday.
So you had to try to plan out to do it like on a Wednesday or a Tuesday. You know,
so I always had a problem with Mondays.
Yeah.
You know, I would be like, oh, I'm good. I'm not feeling too good today. And they're like, it's Monday. I know. I should be in. I was in Saturday. And, of course, that immediately earns me the, comment, you know. there's been times, as a matter of fact, I know that with Joker, where I've been like, dude, I got to go to work this afternoon. He's like, come on, we're doing this tonight. Yeah, you know what? I'm going with you. I'm going to call in sick. I'll be right back. So, you know,
the thing is, it's like most people want to call and be like, you know, oh, this and that, you know, and tell a whole story or whatever. See, the thing is, what you do is you make it short, you make it precise, you make it quick. You just call and say, I'm not feeling good today, man. I'm not going to make it.
Oh, everything all right. Yeah, I'll probably be fine, but I'm not going to make it today. I'm just going to get better, okay? My advice to everyone calling in sick, there's one sentence you should never say to your supervisor. I should be fine by tomorrow. Never say any dates. Yeah. Never set a hard date.
As soon as you give them more, then it start going, you know, if you just call and just deliver, I mean, really, you know, go clear out your voice. If it's all raspy and shit, you know, or maybe let it be raspy sometimes. Sometimes let it be raspy. But, you know, you call and you just deliver the line like, I feel terrible today. I feel really bad. I don't think I'm going to make it in at all. But then, you know, what can they say? I mean, if you have the same leave time to do it, what can they say? Yep. Like, You know, where the guy, you know, they're going to ask you, like, what's wrong with you, whatever, which most people won't if you don't give them a way.
Don't give them the way to
like,
ask.
Like, if you say, like you said, oh, well, I'll be better tomorrow, or, you know, or, yeah, I think it was something I ate last night, but what did you eat? Where did you, you know what I mean? Then you
don't interrogate.
Yeah, they'll interrogate you. So you just make it simple where, you know, if they feel like, if they start asking you, then they feel like, an asshole, you know what I mean? Yep. So put it on them to feel bad for
now,
asking you.
I will say this, and I will be fair about it. Some companies have really stringent asshole attendance policies.
Yeah.
Be careful and keep that in mind. That you know, yeah, you may have this sick time, but they're gonna fuck you in the end.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful with a lot of that.
Now it has come back to get me because I have called in sick or whatever. Like earlier in the week or whatever, and then like a day or two later, really get fucking sick. I really felt like shit, but then I like, oh, no, I can't call it again. You know, I'm just like, you just have to kind of ride it out now when I really am sick. So it has come back to get me too.
Well, there's two ways to do it. First off, there is the fact that, oh God, I couldn't shake what was wrong. You know, if that were to happen to me, I thought I could shake it. I can't shake this thing. I'm not able to come back in. But if you do choose to come back in, oddly enough or coincidentally enough, that is our number 5 on our list of things you should never do at work. Number 5 is going to work when you are sick. The admiration of your coworkers shows for you coming into work despite having the flu will be very short-lived. It won't take long for those working around you to be tired of, you know, hearing you coughing and sniffing and basically sounding miserable, nor will they appreciate being exposed to those germs. Mm-hmm. I say actually go to work sick.
I go to work sick. When I'm sick, I go to work. And you know, I like it. I just let it all out. They always go, oh, man, you sound terrible. You should go home. Da, 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 da.
There you go.
See, that's the thing. So it's two ways to do it. You either do it like that or if you're feeling bad the day before and, you know, you're kind of just grinding out the day, I just make sure that I tell people, man, I feel bad. Or, oh, man, you know, it's a setup for the next day, so no one's
absolutely
super surprised.
Exactly.
Always set up your tie because you know you already by 3 o'clock the day before. Mm-hmm. If you already feel like shit, like, man, I ain't going to know.
It's over the next day.
Yeah, so then you just start lay the foundation. You know, tell one person, I'm not feeling that good. Oh, man, my head is killing me. You know, my stomach's not doing that good. And they'd be like, well, you should go home. No, I'm just ride out the rest of the day. See what happens, and then the next day, that's when you deliver the call, and no one's all shocked.
Exactly, and I'll tell you this. My big advice is if you're going to come in sick, the first person you should make sick is your boss.
Find any reason to go to his office
reason. If you, I don't care if you just want to walk in and say hi. You walk in, you say hi, you cough, or you fart, or you do whatever's necessary to spread those germs and spread that illness. Because if your boss is gone, your coworkers are going to like you more. They don't even have to know it's you. Your coworkers will be happy if the boss is gone because they will truly be able to get the work they need done.
Yeah.
So if you're going to come into work sick, make yourself the utility guy. Make yourself the guy that, you know, you're sacrificing not for yourself because you're sick. You really do want to be home. Sacrifice for them. So, oh shit, in the chat room, such a foreign concept. He's never taken a sick day from work in his life. What in the world is wrong with you?
But he's never in the military. I have a coworker that's in the military, or a couple of coworkers in the military. They never call in sick just because in the military, when you call in sick, they come to your house or where you stay in, make sure whatever puts you in the hospital to make sure that you do have whatever it is. So they really strict. So a lot of people don't call a sick day.
Well, that's intriguing that Oat Shit here says that he's never taken a sick day from work in his life.
In his life. Wow.
I have a hard time believing that because, I mean, I've been in the professional world now for almost, since 92. So,
yeah, that is hard to believe. Not one sick day?
I can't buy that. I mean, everybody calls out sick.
Yeah.
And what's great is, you know, I've caught people faking it, and I'm like, okay, I know what's going on.
Catch up at Walmart.
My favorite, back to the previous one, number 4, is my favorite's the fact when they say, oh, I should be able to be fine tomorrow. No, don't say that.
Don't say that.
I'm telling you. But, yeah, if you are going to show up to work sick, cough on the boss, get the boss sick, make everybody else's next couple days better. unless you got one of those psycho bosses that will show up sick too.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get his boss sick, and that's, you know, it's kind of a chain. He'll come in, oh, I'll just get my boss sick, and they'll get their boss sick. Well, no, just get your boss sick. Going on to number 6 of the 10 things you should never do at work. Abusing office technology. This includes, but is not limited to spending a significant amount of time on personal phone calls, emails or instant messaging. You have his office time to type and print out pieces of your screenplay. Going online to catch up on last night's episode of My Life on the D-List. And using the office printer to make invites to your holiday party.
I have made office. I've used the printer for multiple things. Every story, a screenplay or book I have ever written, and know how many times I corrected, it's always been a work printer. I have never printed anything at home for myself. I've always used work printers for color prints, for invites. I did my wedding invitations at work.
At one of my jobs, I actually did. My this is like the first year or so we were married. I actually did our Christmas letter on the work printer, on the work copier. I put in the paper and I figured out how it looks good, and I sorted, you know, got it all situated, and then I printed out our Christmas letter on the work printer, work copier. So that was great. It was spectacular.
Yeah.
I am an internet junkie. I live online. I mean, I am that statistic that, you know, I really shouldn't own a computer because I am online all the time. So at work, I'll run, two windows, or I'll run Firefox on my computer at work, which is technically not allowed, but it is allowed, kind of unwritten rule. I could burn me. Again, I got people that I know at work where they're going to kill me for this, but, two windows are always available to me. One is going to be my email, no matter what my provider is, whether it's my local ISP or whether it's a Gmail or whatever. But also Meebo, M-E-E-B-O. Meebo is a really nice application. This is how you really abuse your office technology. Meebo is an online Ajax-based internet messaging website. Basically, you go on to Meebo. You get a Meebo login. You don't really have to, but it makes it a little easier. And then you fill out all the login information for all of your different instant messaging clients. AIM, Yahoo, MSN, Gtalk, all of them. Every single one. Does not cover IRC, but that's okay. It's also web-based, which means that if your company is blocking those ports that are normally used for instant messaging, you just got your way around because Meebo's now the proxy. I have it open. If someone were to message me during the daytime hours, because I work like a 9-to-5 job, so if you message me in that 9-to-5 window, or 8-to-5 or whatever, I will answer because I'll be at work and I'll be in front of my computer.
Yeah. I had the computer, then I had the laptop. And we got these big 24-inch screens, so I can't really do shit because you can't hide it because everyone can fucking see your screen. So on the laptop is where I do my homework, I do my MySpace, I do my...
MySpace is a big one.
Yahoo chat and, you know, or my emails or my fantasy football or... You know, just all the things. But that's, you know, being, you know, in IT departments, you know, especially for us, we have the leeway because we tell everybody else what they can't have and what we restrict from them. But, you know, we're open to everything.
But you're open to everyone.
So we're a YouTubing, MySpacing.
Uh-huh. Now, you know. I have people I work with in the office. Yeah, they're on break.com. And they're, I mean, I'm not going to. The only thing I will give and the only rule I will lay down to anybody in my office that reports to me. Don't do it when you're supposed to be doing your actual job.
Yeah.
If you're not doing your actual job, go for it, you know, because it's all right as long as it's legal and not safe for work. You know, if I get someone going to Two Girls, One Cup, we're done. It's over. But if you're on there just kind of checking out some friends on MySpace or, you know, keep it safe. Best thing is, though, is when you catch or you do screen captures of people. I'm sure you have that where you can look at what they're doing on their computer.
Yeah.
And you're seeing them talk to, like, Dirty Pink Panties 27 at MySpace. You're like, you know, you want to make fun of them.
What's even better for us is that we could drop it to the whole public and all, you know, all the different branches because we control them all. So you could go and you can see, like, you know, you drop in and see all the porn and different ones and some of the sites that people look at or the emails they write or dudes begging for their girlfriends to come back and shit.
Jeez, baby.
Yeah, it's funny, though, you know, just drop in, read a little bit, but most of the time I don't have time to do it because I'm usually doing homework. But
yeah, you're so doing your own shit. So what's number seven? Hoping no one pops in on you. Moving on. Yeah, actually, here we go. Number seven of the 10 things you should never do at work. Number seven, involving coworkers in your personal problems. If problems at home are distracting you from doing your job, that's one thing, which you should take up with your boss or human resources. But involving your coworkers in your personal problems is distracting and unprofessional.
You know, I think it's a difference between, it's a huge difference between men and women. Women, absolutely 100%. Hate their bosses and or hate coworkers and really take it to the extreme, and I think they have more problems. Not so much problems they bring at home, but they make problems because women don't. You know, they just don't get along with other women at work. You know, oh, she thinks she's better than me, this, or she think. You know, that's why I'm mostly here. When people talk about the problems coming from women, it's usually about other women.
Yeah.
Now, in my department, that was, you know, before I went to IT and it's all dudes, is a whole different, you know, set of things that, you know, that guys talk about. When guys talk about problems, is usually something that they're getting sick of their wife doing. Like, God damn, I can't believe this bitch went out and bought this shit. I told her, you know what I'm saying, or you can hear them yelling on the wives on the phone. You know, other than that, we really don't. I mean, our bosses may be assholes or whatever, but we just go, yeah, he's an asshole, just deal with it.
Yep.
But
yep.
I think most problems in the office is not really problems that people bring from home. Not so much, it's more, I think it's more within the office itself, people that can't get along with each other, from what I noticed, more than, you know, people bringing their personal stuff in from home.
Well, other than telling stories about my son, I don't really bring a lot of personal stuff in. I tend not to. I'm pretty guarded like that. I don't want, you know, it's bad enough. Like, I do joke the fact that I do know a couple of my coworkers listen to this. It's already bad enough. You know, to me, I try to keep everything so separate, it's ridiculous. And I will, you know, I mean, even though it's just on podcast, if someone tries to call me on something, the podcast disappears.
Yeah.
That's the way it's going to be. But if you want to do personal problems at work, what you got to do is you got to make it entertaining. You got to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Drop a comment. Hey, have you heard anything about erectile dysfunction pills? You know, or you know, bring people into an uncomfortable zone. Bring them into a zone that makes them go, "What the hell are you telling me?" Yeah, it's going to generate gossip, but since you know the truth, it's all right.
And I guess it kind of depends. In my case, it's really hard, and it's really hard to dodge out giving away something personal because everybody, I've worked in the same place for 13 years.
Wow.
And so everybody in different places, and now being in IT, I go to all these different places. So everyone knows me, or I'm just a real popular person. In addition, so my business is always, you know, I go to lunch with somebody, 16 people know, or they're like, oh, yeah, we heard that you went so-and-so and so-and-so. Oh, we heard that da-da-da, you know. I mean, the day that I got married, the next day, everybody's like, oh, congratulations. People I never even fucking talked to before would say, you know what I mean? Because it's just, you know, the news travel like that. So, you know, if you're a high-profile person like me, it is kind of hard to hide your private business. But it's just, it's kind of like finding those few people. If you do have a problem and if something's eating you up, I think the best way to do it and not turn it to a big thing is fine. The three or four people that you know that will really truly keep it, because mostly you won't find more than five. If you can find five people that will hold your information and not tell anyone,
five people, that's a miracle.
Yeah, I mean, even four stretching it, three's stretching it. But you know, then you may find that, you know, two, you know, whatever. Like in my case, it'll be Carla. Carla will be one person that I could tell all this stuff to, and she won't go and spread it to other people. Stay with me, you know. But look how close of a friend that Carla is.
Exactly.
Maybe it's a friend outside of just work.
Right.
So it's really hard to really find someone to,
it
you
is.
Know, to you know, instill that much trust into, especially if it's something serious.
And to be honest, I don't have that with really. I have it with a few of my coworkers, and there's about two or three that I can do that and joke with, and they get it. That's fine. Number eight of the 10 things you should never do at work, getting too comfortable. Dressing professionally is just as important as behaving professionally in the workplace. No matter how long you've been with a company, how cool your boss is, or how much sleep you got the night before, or how cold or hot it is outside, you should always maintain a clean, workplace-appropriate appearance. Even if you work in a relatively casual office, you should still make the effort to wear clean clothes and have well-groomed hair. A good rule of thumb is to never dress better than your boss, nor worse. I will say I am very guilty of being comfortable in my office. I let my beard grow to scruff. For a while there, I was just nothing but jeans and button-down shirts that were not the greatest button-down shirts. Cleaning that up, more polos and more more professional wear for myself.
I think it came to where I worked in the people that you work with. Like some people, they come to work, your supervisor's kind of casual, don't really care, whatever. So you kind of work kind of casual. Then I had one boss that was like a real uptight Jewish lady that she thinks that everyone should be slacks and pants and stuff. So, to just avoid from her complaining about what you're wearing, you wore more slacks and shirts. So it's kind of like, now being in IT, it's kind of like just grungy jeans and a T-shirt, a $2 T-shirt with holes in the side.
Well, now, I know we've talked about it before, but, where you work, it's a public institution that has, facing the customer. And what I find interesting is that I've been to a few branches, and the hotties behind the counter some of the most amazing outfits with the most amazing boobs.
Yeah.
Or tattoos.
Just revealing everything.
I know there's this one over near my house in Green Valley that just has the most phenomenally kick-ass tattoo, a full sleeve down her arm and onto her hand, and is drop-dead gorgeous. And she knows it, and she shows it off. So, too comfortable work, probably, yeah.
Yeah, because it depends. Like, sometimes you'll get the old, bitter woman who's probably jealous or whatever and say that, or picking her and say, oh, you don't dress or whatever. But then sometimes you get the supervisors who wear more revealing stuff than the workers.
Absolutely.
Because they they know it.
Here's my suggestion. First off, when you're in work, Where are those sandals? You have the ugliest feet in the world, and you really need to air them out. So wear the sandals to work. Be a little more comfortable, because if you can drive the trend, go for it. As for dressing like your boss, but not better nor worse, no. Dress four times better than your boss. It's a common thing that, and I think this is a misnomer about the dressing like your boss, because that turns you into Monkey Boy Extreme. it's also commonly referred to as kiss ass. Dressing four times above your boss, it obviously shows that not only are you completely dedicated to your job, but they're actually paying you way too much for your position. Therefore, you should be cut. I used to work at Dillard's, an upscale-ish clothing store. We know we have one here in Las Vegas, too. The kind of place where male employees are required to wear a tie and jacket, and I was almost always stubble-faced. So good for you, Toe. I, however, look like when I have my full beard, how bad do I look? I look pretty bad.
No, not really. I mean, it's kind of – I'm kind of used to it because as where I work, there's really no dress code, as you can see.
Yeah, well, you dress up better for the show than I think you were for work then, obviously, because you dress up really – some days you're rather dapper coming to the show, and we're like, oh, he's going out tonight. Some days you dress – no, you almost always dress up for the show. Yeah. It's really weird. I would have to say that, you really, be comfortable. Fuck what other people say, because your work should precede you. And, that's all I'm going to say about that. Number 9 on the 10 things you should never do at work. And this one, 9 and 10 kind of work together on this one. So we'll go over 9 and 10 together. Number 9 says hitting on your boss. The guy who wrote the website is must be a prick, because he goes, this one has Lifetime movie written all over it. Whatever, cockwad. For every successful office romance story, there's a disaster story to match it. When coworkers hook it up, there makes for a tricky situation. When one worker is a subordinate and the other one is a supervisor, the stakes are even higher. Unless you're well aware of your employer's policy regarding office romances and are prepared for the possibility of rejection, avoid this one altogether. It also puts in there number 10 of hitting on your employees. Consider all the above and add to the possible sexual harassment suit. Well, first off, hitting on your boss, you should never do it. I have one story. I have Sleazy Todd, a guy who was my boss. I didn't hit on him. It's not me. one of the other coworkers, one of the other reps on the floor, him and her hooked up. made everybody's life miserable because they could tag team a person into unemployment. It was miserable. Another one we had, and I had a personal problem with these two people. Dave and his little girlfriend. His little 21-year-old girlfriend broke up Dave's 10-year marriage with his 40-year-old wife. He was 40 and she was 40. That kind of a thing. Well, the thing was, though, is she really sucked at her job. And I was bitching about it one day in front of him. I was a little oblivious to the situation. I was the only one oblivious to the situation. And I go, God damn it, that cunt misscores me one more time in my job. I'm going to go. I'm going to find her husband or boyfriend. I'm going to slap them just for sympathy. Whoops. At that point, other people looked at me like I was the dumbest man on earth.
There's life.
Which I was.
And then the light just turned on, like.
And, oh. And the looks I was getting from Dave was rather bad. And I'm like, what? Oh, tell me you're not fucking her. And I said it because I really didn't care. This is one of those jobs I really hated. And he goes, why, yes, I am. And I go, but aren't you married? And he goes, why, yes, I am. And I said, have they at least hooked it up together for you or with you? Or even without you, so at least you could get some benefit out of her. Because I'm sure not. I was trying to get fired at that point.
See, I have a couple stories, you know, in personal dating. Like, actually slept with a few, you know, coworkers or whatever, dated some. But my favorite, even met my wife, because she was a coworker.
Oh.
Yeah, she was a coworker when we hooked up, too. So, you know, dating coworkers, all that kind of stuff, because you're there all the time. It's just the way, you know, it's just the way you approach and do it. And then the person's just kind of, like, disinterested, like, you know, really this and that. They just leave it alone. Forget about them. You know, don't come, you know, the thing is that people want to keep going and going or trying and this and that. And that's where you fucked up, because you could tell immediately if this person has no interest in you. That's it. He's like, you know, start the conversation, kind of take it like, you know, you think you want to, you know, go see a movie or go whatever. And they go, oh, no, I don't know this and that. Or, oh, no, I have to go this or I have to watch this or kids or whatever. You know, other than that, they'll probably say if they can't do it then they'll probably say, you know, I can't do it tomorrow, but maybe on the weekend or something, then we know we can hook up. Then you have an opportunity. But if you could tell when someone's kind of cold and closed off and give you a fast response, then you leave the issue alone.
Yep.
But my favorite thing that a girl told me that I want to date with, a coworker. and at the time, I was kind of really nipped and kind of pissed about it. But then as time went by, I could see her point of view. You know, it was one of those things where time goes by and I said, okay. Because it was a white girl that I was dating. And she said to me, I like you. I would like to force be more than friends, but I can't because of the way people stared at me being with a black man.
Wow.
Straight up. Right? And I was like, I was like 20. I think it was 20, 21, right? Mm-hmm. Being with someone black. And, you know, and I didn't really notice because my whole time I always dated different people, different races.
I was thinking you were going to say my whole life I've been black, so I didn't notice.
Yeah. But, and so to her, this is the first time she's ever been with anyone of a different race.
Oh, wow.
So she said that she, you know, was feeling the stares and people were giving her dirty, you know, looks and everything like that. But I was kind of oblivious to it. So, of course, when I first got told that, I was like, oh, that's fucked up. You know, this bitch, this and that, whatever. You know, that's what's going in my mind. But then as time went by and I'm like, you know, yeah, I can see how a person is not used to dating someone of a different race. You know, at least she, two things that she did is that one, she tried it. Found out it's not for her, and two, she told me straight up the truth, which most people would avoid doing. Most people would just say,
yeah,
oh, you know, I'm not interested or whatever, but she told me the truth about it. You know, it was just kind of, maybe it's because it was the truth that you get used to seeing hearing so many lies that it's like, get blown away by it. But sorry for stretching out so long, but I just want to get that point of view.
No,
there.
That's great. That's kind of a bonus.
I know.
You know, I will say this. If you have to initiate a website, or not a website, but a office romance, there's a couple ways to do this properly. First off, if it's actually, you know, two ways, never do it at work. Never do or say anything at work in the workspace, because that's just reckless. That's just dangerous. Because it's not about what the person you're talking to. It's about the person that sits next to them.
That's hearing everything.
That hears everything. The nosy bitches and assholes that at work who want to know what everybody else is doing because, you know, they're too busy chatting with someone on Meebo or, you know, they're too busy making business cards on the printer. Another way to do it, of course, and this is a way, I don't know. This one may be a little more technical. Stalk them. What you want to do is you got to find that person you really like and you know, get their license plate number and start doing DMV searches and stuff like that. Google, I tell you what, everybody has a MySpace and everybody can be found on Google. So Google them.
Find out if they have a husband, boyfriend, or
then kill them.
Yeah,
we don't really. You know what? Let me preface this really quick. I don't recommend any of these bits of advice. This is humor. Please keep that in mind. But when you do stalk them, don't make it obvious. We don't want to, you know, they said Lifetime movie. We don't want that Lifetime movie. What we want is enough sedation, enough alcohol, drugs, whatever's necessary to get them to either like you or depend on you like a junkie. That's the best way to do an office romance, really. If you really have to.
Fuck them and leave them. That's what you do. Do a one-night stand. Do a couple of those. Because
and wear a mask.
And you know why? Because the uncomfortable feeling is so pleasurable. You know, you go, you see this person, and you look in their eyes, and you just want to say to them, I fucked the shit out of you last night. And so no matter how much time goes by or whatever, you know, we see the person constantly, you know, you look at them, they know, they, you know, she's probably thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I sucked this cock. Oh my Jesus.
You know, you're absolutely right. You're probably 100% dead on.
That uncomfortable feeling is so good because you just blare at them, give the biggest fucking smile you ever gave.
And it's two-way because it's they know that you either fucked the shit out of them or they know they had your cock in their mouth. And it's one of those situations where they could say, yeah, well, it must have been good enough for this and your own too. So it's a wonderful, wonderful two-way way to stop all communication.
And no matter what they say, they can't hold back because they know that you – That you fucked them, so they can try to be smart with it. Like, oh well, you know, I guess I don't really care that much for you or whatever. I don't think you can get any girls or whatever. Like, but I fucked you. Yeah. Oh, she wouldn't give me the time of day, but I did fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah. You know, apparently, you know, if they try to pull this, well, you couldn't get anybody anyway. Then you must be nobody. You are the best dick sucking nobody I've ever met. So if I got my dick sucked by nobody, does that make me everybody? Nice. I will say this, and I will say this in my official capacity, my actual real-world capacity, not as Trencher. I am an asshole at work. I will admit to it. I will be a biggest asshole. So if anybody tries to pull any of this shit on me, just remember, I already know what you've done. I already know what you're doing. I own you, bitches. All right. Spank Wagon Radio. Hey, we stretched that bit for 45 minutes.
Yes, we did. You said we stretched it out.
I warned him. You know, people are going, oh my God, they're still going on. We got 5 minutes left in this show. 4 minutes now left in this show.
And we talked about three issues for 2 hours.
We stretched everything as long as humanly possible. Unreal. Amazingly real. It was beautiful. All right. So, you know what? I'm going to talk a little bit more about things that are coming up. I know that 26th of January, the Library District is doing a Comic-Con at the West Sahara branch here in Las Vegas.
Fuck, I didn't know that. So
you might want to check it out. If you are a Vegas local, any of our podcast listeners are Vegas locals, check that out. We want to, you know, I want to, again, kind of give a nice impassioned plea. If you are a listener, whether you're a listener through Spankwagon, LV Rocks, any of our other syndicates, go to spankwagon.net, sign up, get an account. Don't be a spammer and contribute, because it's that contribute and conversation that we're really looking for, because that's what it's really all about. Whether it's two schlubs on a microphone for 2 hours talking about three things, pulling off that miracle, or it's stuff that you contribute, things that you guys contribute to the website, it will get talked about not only in the website, but we'll get talked about on the radio show, the podcast, things like that, because we have things we find interesting, but you guys might find something that's just a little bit more interesting.
Yeah. The thing is, it would be nice to get it so we can have topics to talk about. That's like the main thing. It's like, put something down so, you know, make us do, you know, research, give your opinion, make, you know, to, you know, go back and then we can talk about your issue on the show.
Exactly. And you know, one thing as we believe is full disclosure in the sense of, you know, you email us a topic, you're taking credit for that topic.
Yeah.
I will say this one thing, like Joker sends us a lot of emails. However, he doesn't never do it right. He always sends it to my personal email and then I have to forward it off so I can get it logged. And, you know, not let us say logged, that's a bad word for it, but so I can make sure it's in the fan mail page. Our email address for the show is radio@spankwagon.net. So if you have something you want to comment on about things we've talked about, if you have something you want to comment on of things that you've heard, things you want us to bring up, news articles, anything like that, radio@spankwagon.net. Also, with the website, I'll say it again, sign up. Contribute to the website. Bring us something. It could be links. I'd rather have a little more meat and potatoes, but I really expect that from myself more than anybody else. Talk about it. Start the conversation. Own the conversation. It's yours. That's what the site's for. The chat room. I know that we always have the chat room open and running and going during the show. It's not just for during the show. The chat room is there and it's turned on 24/7. If you want a place to just sit and bum around and hang out, I mean, you're not going to be able to run any bots or anything or do anything like that, but sit in the chat room and talk. You know, I'm in there frequently and no one else is, and that's fine. But do it. Hang out in there. I mean, I think even when I'm working on Meebo, I have enough time to chat in the chat room or whatever I'm using to chat in the chat room with. So that's the website. I'll say, what you're looking kind of weird at the computer.
Oh, no. It says no threats found.
Virus scanner that doesn't work. So, you know, I want to say that since we do have the ability to, we're not talking over each other tonight. Go to the site. Use the site. Listen to the podcast. You know. God damn it. We're always talking over each other. No one can hear a thing in X-Y's, and we're always... Wait, we got to... I don't even feel like yelling now. I mean, this has been such a talking show that it has been a yelling show. It's beautiful. I'm happy. So happy.
Yeah, no. Oh, my God.
Maybe we'll get Murph and Scrappy back next week.
I'm going to go home and pass the fuck out, dude. I'm, like, losing you. I'm, like, trying to keep my eyes open. I'm, like...
Well, you're lucky then because it's this time. You are falling asleep soon. You going to be able to drive home?
Yeah, I'm fine.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
I've been your host, Trencher.
I've been Big Daddy Decaf, and maybe it's not good to stay out to 5 in the morning.
Was it a good party?
Yeah, it was a good show.
All right. Hey, we got to thank everybody out there listening to us. We appreciate every single listener, podcast, live, otherwise. I don't care how you do it, just enjoy it. We got a bunch of people to thank. First off, LV Rocks, LVRocks.com for allowing us this awesome studio space, plus our Gaudi experience, which we probably will talk more about next week with Murphy. Big thank you to all of our syndicates, Flash FM, KC Host, Radio Network, Door From Hell Radio, Fox FM, Showdown.net, Steel City Radio, and the Nomad Radio Network, who will be going off air on the 30th for a little bit of a refresh.
So is it going to be off the air from Sunday to Thursday, so it won't affect us.
It won't affect us probably because we're their number one. We are their number one draw.
Are we really?
I don't know. I'm probably lying. I'm pretty sure.
At the call to say Geo Cities, we probably won't be. No.
And remember, you know, I say before, if we're not live,
you find us an archive.
Yeah, and you can go to podcast.lvrocks.com to pull up that information, or you can go to the main Spankwagon site to pull up shows all the way back to 2002. And for social networks, because we are a social group of people, myspace.com/spankwagon. I know Murphy says he's working on another social site. There's a few that I've been invited to this week. Maybe we'll start getting all of them up there and seeing what we can get for business.
Okay.
All right. So with that being said, I don't have much more to say.
I think we said everything we can possibly
we
say.
We have. So we'll leave this with you guys. Why don't you go ahead and give them the word of the week?
The word of the week?
Or the phrase of the week or the whatever for the week.
Steal from work.
Steal from work, folks. That's your phrase of the week. That's the phrase that pays. That's The final word, Spankwagon Radio, steal from work.
Take that favorite Bic pen that you always wanted.
But disguise it with the green ink pen. All right, Spankwagon Radio.
Retards.
Duh, that's not
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Your phrase.
Oh, my phrase. Steal from work.
Drug on the tissue on the floor of the train. Sun goes down, temperature drops. Beautiful burnout, beautiful burnout. Bird, chrome.